Blog Talk Radio.
Younger men to become better men if we're being hypocrites. We're being hypocrites about what we're telling them to do.
Has been done to me, and I have done them. So I'm speaking from experience, and I'm also speaking from being able to tell you that it's real.
Everybody has to have a core. There's something that drives me. There's something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No. We want to hear the difference.
Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children, you're talking relationships, you're talking all kinds of things, and it blows my mind, man.
That's most premier and exciting new experiences. I mean, we've been up for a little bit now, but you know, when I say new, I'm just still rejuvenated by it by now. So once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show, and we got the panel on board, on deck, as we do every week. Big shout out to all my brothers that helped hold it down. It's hot as hell in Jersey. I know down south, southern region, I know you're checking us out, and there's a couple other people checking us out. Well, we appreciate the 875 people that logged in and just listened to the show last week. We applaud you, and we really appreciate the love and support, no doubt. Once again, welcome to the show. We got the brothers on deck. We got the one and only Mr. Brother Dow Harrington. You up on deck, brother?
Yes, sir.
All right. We got the one and only, the only one, the motivational speaker, the I call it the button pusher. My man, Brother Edward L. Fairley. What's going on, brother?
Hey, good evening, man. What's going on?
Oh, man, I feel like a superhero, man. Feeling good right about now, man. A lot of great things happening, man. So I'm just, once again, welcome to the Man of Talk Show. We're going to be doing this. We're going to give you an hour, we call it hour of power, just to give you hour of power, and then we're going to bring on the pilot show. Yeah, we will be sitting there. We showed you a little bit last night. Okay, then we got to get the soundtrack in order, and we're good to go. So, you know, we're going to be doing the pilot show test run called To the Root of It with my brother Edward L. Fairley. He's going to be going bringing on after the Man of the Show, so stay tuned, because you never know what he's going to come at you on with his daughters of the day and everything like that. So, gentlemen, let's go around the table. You know, what's going on? What happened this week? What's up with you? Brother Dow or Eddie, who's first?
All right, I guess I'll start it off. Like I said, just basically trying not to be a fake potato, you know what I mean? It's hot out here. But besides that, there's a lot of big push, like in North Jersey, Election Day is coming up, just coming Tuesday. Those of y'all who live in Orange, y'all got a lot of decisions to make, people, straight up. Do you want to continue in the manner that you've been going in, or are you looking for a change? I'm not here to advocate who you should vote for one way or the other, because y'all grown, y'all know.
Yeah, y'all know that, but keep on going, but we'll fix it.
But if you don't, you need to ask somebody, because y'all got a lot of decisions to make on Tuesday. But for general New Jersey, our election day is Tuesday, so we need to come out and vote. Also, there's a motorcycle event. I've already stated this like the last 2 weeks. I said I saw my brother, Mr. Brenton I. Osborne of the Lyle I. Osborne organization that I would let everybody know. June 22nd, rain or shine, 8 o'clock in the morning, leaving from Irvington, from Supremo's in Irvington, going all the way down to, go down to Dunellen. Yeah, going down to Delaware, New Jersey. So that's what's going on. The early registration date ends tomorrow on Saturday. Early registration ends on Saturday. But, you know, anybody wants any information, a couple people have called, asked for information, who've heard from this very radio show. So from him, from me, thank you very much for your interest. Also, for those of us who love house music, you know the annual Weekway Park, you know,
yes,
house music festival is a coming. Just let
we in the building, brother.
Yo, the most definitely, you know we going to be there. So that's Saturday, June 22nd, the rain date is the 29th, Weekway Park, from noon to 8 o'clock. If you don't know, you better ask somebody. June 15th, Saturday before Father's Day, a gospel concert going on at Orange Park in Orange, New Jersey. You know, get one, tell one. That's pretty much what's going on in the community.
Okay. That's great stuff. Brother Eddie, I know you always got things going down, brother. I mean, I know the family's great, of course, like always, but I know you always got things going every week. What's up, brother?
Man, I'm just sleepy, man. I'm just
yo, hold on, don't tell me the little one got you, bro.
Man, honestly, it's not even the little one, man. I promise you, and I want to apologize, Darryl, because I promise, I think, not even less than an hour ago, I think I fell asleep on him just trying to talk.
No.
I promise you. So I want to apologize for that, man. I needed that extra 3 or 4 minutes I got, though. I didn't even realize I got it. But we got to talk.
Man,
I promise you, man. My alarm clock got me up. But what do I have going on? It's probably a shorter list for me to say what I don't have going on. But I did the recording for the promo of my TV show, To the Root of It, this past Memorial Day. That was fun. Now we are going into the editing process of that. I'm waiting to find out what's going on with the pitch of that second TV show that they were talking about co-starring. My manager and I are going crazy with the different plans and stuff for when we do the Kickstarter promo for the to raise funds and stuff for the To the Root of It and the different giveaways that we're going to give as different things or initiatives for people to want to do it, like me having me at your event for a free speaking engagement, a free book and stuff like that. Just initiatives to give people reason outside of just joining the movement of having the show aired to get the message out and to help people to become better communicators and stuff like that. Just different giveaways and stuff that in regards to my services that I'll be willing to give out for depending on the price and stuff that you donate towards the movement. Also, this past Friday, I got an email. Apparently, I have a nice following in North Africa. So much so that
I got a
request for me to be the speaker for the ceremony of a new group that they started for their English week. So I will be doing a Skype session speaking to these students in North Africa that have been following me about what am I speaking on? Goodness gracious, I need a net. The effective communication. So I'll be speaking via Skype to some students, some college students in North Africa that are aspiring to be better communicators in, as far as the English language is concerned. I have so much stuff going on. Shout out to my wonderful wife.
Let's tell everybody what's going on, brother.
Man, my wife is awesome. I need to stop there for a second. My wife is just excellent. She's wonderful. She's always she's stressing and burning candles at both ends to make sure that I can do what it is that I was created to do. And she's making sure that I can get rest when I can get rest, and she's forcing me to get rest when I don't. When I try not to get rest and I try to overdo it, she's just an awesome conscious and I just appreciate her. So I want to shout out my wife, Zanetta Fairley, out. I'm just busy, man. That's all I can say. Busy, tired, and just keep in mind, man. We wish things would happen, or we wish God would bless us and all this stuff. To whom much is given, much is required. And be mindful of what you ask for, because you just might get it. And if and when you do it, please do the right thing with it. And that's my biggest focus and my biggest prayer, that I don't mess up what he gives me. So I just appreciate all of you all for listening and being supportive and having receptive ears and hearts to the word that I have to share that's been shared with me. So
great stuff, man. You know, as I think you said something very profound as far as speaking about when God gives us gifts. You know, we are put in places to do certain things, and you know, I'm very proud and honored to be a part of a group of men that want to have positive voices and share what their knowledge and their experience and what they can bring to the table as part of the movement, you know, throughout the country and abroad. So big shout to those in Africa. I think, you know, matter of fact, Brother Eddie, I don't know, I got two people from Africa. I haven't checked it out yet. I just knew it said Africa, but I don't know if it's tied in or not or whatever. I will check it out. A lot of things, Brother Dow, you know, you doing what you're doing. Haas is behind the scenes, you know, he's working hard. He said, listen, I'm checking out the show, but he's working behind the scenes. And a matter of fact, we're very proud. You know, I personally am very proud. We've launched off a new initiative, a part of Shadow World's movement, and Man Up, and part of Edward L. Fairley, what he does, Brother Darrell. We created something now called Game Strong. It's an initiative basically utilizing physical fitness, sports, and kind of tying in how you work hard in a game to win the game, applied it to life lessons as well. So we've utilized that initiative, and we're very proud. I mean, right now, you know, we shot the initiative. It's been behind the scenes working for a while now, but it just sprung like wildflowers. So we created a talk show just for that. That's going to be on Mondays. And we already linked up with a minor league, semi-pro football league already. That's from, let's see, Canada, New Jersey, New York, Virginia, Florida. So that's more listeners. That's going to be part of the movement.
So we want to welcome the RAFL, the Regional American Football League, and allowing the Shadow Worlds Radio and Game Strong to be part of their team. And they're going to be supporting us, brothers. So we got all these different men and various organizations going to be checking us out. So, you know, God is good. So we really appreciate those guys for letting us be a part of their family.
Yeah.
A lot of great things is happening, man. A lot of great things.
Also, Nas, just to get everybody's minds brewing or marinating on the topic for To the Root of It this evening, please, for one, have your phones ready and give a call to share your opinion. And the number is 646-478-4507. I repeat, it's 646-478-4507. And the topic of tonight that we're going to get to the root of is, if you knew that you were definitely going to have both, but you were able to choose which one you got first, which one would you choose, love or financial wealth? The question again is, if you knew that you were definitely going to have both, but you were able to choose which one you got first, which one would you choose, love or financial wealth, and why? Why would you choose love if you want love first? Why would you choose financial wealth if you chose financial wealth first? And we'll talk more about it when we get to the root of it, all right?
Very well said. Well said, brother. So after the show, we're going to go to the root of it. It's the Poly Show. It's going down for the next 4 weeks. And we want you to call in. Like Brother Eddie said, the number is 646-478-4507. Tonight's topic on the Man Up is forgiveness. Whether you're a man or a woman, everybody has to learn to forgive self, forgive relationship past, relationship. Just forgive, forgive. Holding on can make you old and get ulcers and all other nonsense. But let's get to some music, brothers, and, you know, we're going to come back, and we're going to get into this topic. So once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show, and to the root of it. Let's go. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Right there. What's going on? We are back with the Man of Talk Show. We are back. What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Had to get a little two-step effort up for the barbecues, a little barbecue party on. You know, just give me some ribs, you know, give me some, you know, give me some good food, you know, hot weather, the grill's going. Tonight's topic, forgiveness. What it is, gentlemen, forgiveness. And I know I have the right gentleman for this one. I want to send the ball right here coming out to my man, Eddie, because this is big. Forgiveness. A lot of us, and I think he's a perfect man to lead us off on this one.
Man, forgiveness. This is a lesson in itself, and a lot of people don't get it because they use the word so frivolously. Forgiveness. Oh, yeah, I forgave her a long time ago, when in actuality they didn't. How do you know that you really forgiven someone? The way you find out or you know that you really forgiven somebody is when you think about what they did to you and you don't get any problems with in the bottom of your stomach. You don't feel that tenderness or that anxiousness in your stomach. Or when they come around or you hadn't seen them in a while, if you don't feel that anxiousness or that frustration or that just that anger that came with what they did to you, when you see them and you hadn't seen them in a while, that's when you know you've forgiven that person. And the thing is that most people, I don't think they realize, forgiveness is not for that person either. It's for you. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, if you don't forgive that person, you're the one that's still up at night frustrated or stressed out with ulcers and all kinds of stuff with them on your mind when in actuality they're probably sleeping real good at night, not even thinking about your behind. So it's relinquishing someone of the power over yourself that you've given them in the process of whatever it is that happened. So that's what forgiveness is relinquishing yourself of being controlled by another individual that has power over your emotions, your highs and your lows or what have you, so that you can move on and do what it is that you were created or destined to be and do. Until then, you are a slave emotionally and health-wise and physically to that person. I talk to people about that all the time. You know, they try to they bring a whole bunch of stuff that they had in other relationships to another relationship and wonder why those other relationships don't work. Because you're taking all that baggage and the crap that you brought without by not forgiving the other person with you to the other relationship. And I'm like, yo, I mean, the only way that you can get home in baseball is if you take your first foot off of first base. You can't get the second without taking your foot off of first. So you gotta leave that other stuff behind first so that you can get to the next base so that we can bring this all home. But so many people keep trying to move to the different bases but keep their foot on the other one. It's not going to work.
Good point.
So
great
we got
to
do what it takes, whatever it takes to be able to forgive so that you can free yourself to receive more other things so that you'll be a happier, healthier individual. And this is man, how much forgiveness I've had to give. Because of forgiveness, me and my my son's birth father are very close friends because of forgiveness. Now, this is a guy that I promise you in the beginning, the only reason why he's still breathing in my mind is because I love my son so much that I didn't want to do anything that would affect his dad that he grew up loving so much. But mm-hmm. when I finally broke down and prayed and said, you know what, I need to forgive this guy for the stuff that he's done that was disrespectful and just rude and everything toward me and my family, and including my son, and I need help with that, and this is my prayer to God. The minute I did that and I relinquished the control he had over my emotions to where when I saw him come over, I had no other ill feelings or anything like that towards him. Now, if you saw the text messages that are exchanged between him and I, like I think I spoke about it last week, how people say I'm just so weird, the rarity in our relationship with the whole quote-unquote stepdad and the baby daddy, if you will. We are so close to where we go to the rec together. We take our son to the movies and stuff like that. And if my son acts like he doesn't want to go spend time with his dad on the weekends, I force him to go because that's his only dad. And we talk on a regular basis when he's out to sea because he's a merchant seaman. I'm always checking on him, making sure he's good. I text messages in with I love you, and that's just the type of relationship that we have, and that can only come through forgiveness and that growth and the bond and stuff that we've built. It only came from forgiveness. He had to do the same with me. So all of this stuff is, like I said, is to make you a better you and to take the opportunity to build something that would have never come out of it had you not relinquished yourself of that person having that control over you. So it's a liberating experience that's needed in order for you to get on with your life and get better in regards to who you are and how to resolve issues and conflict and just to constantly move up the ladder of success and wealth emotionally, physically, and even financially.
Okay. Good point.
I mean, my mom, golly, I had to forgive my mom. That's like recent. Recent. When I say recent, I'm talking in the last 5 or 6 years, and that all came from me resenting my mom because I felt that she wasn't a mom to me. Which God helped me realize that it was because she wasn't a mom to me that I should love her because she was such a great father to me. So I ended up writing her a serious poem and a letter that actually ended up causing a little issue in our family, but it was truth. You know me, if it's truth, I got to share it, and I did. But from that, a better bond was created. I was freed of the resentment that I had towards my mother for many, many years, and a great relationship has grown because of that. But in the end, like I said, to forgive someone is to relinquish control that they have over your emotions and feelings, and it's also to make you feel better, not doing the other person any favors, to do you any favors. But like I said, you're up at night stressed and mad about them, and they are sleeping well. I'm talking slobbing on their face, got the dag on, snail trail on their cheek, from it drying up on their cheek, and you're the one that can't sleep at night. You're the one with ulcers and everything like that because of how you feel about them, and they're not even thinking about you. So you need to release yourself of that ball and chain that you have latched to them so that you can free yourself and be who it is that you want to be.
Good
whether
point.
It's your father, whether it's your mother, whatever, you got to learn to forgive so that you can be who you were created to be.
That's a great point, brother. I mean, I know that we have some friends, family members who have children. I mean, I hear a lot of times you have parents who are so much beating themselves for the failures of the kids. They provided good homes. They provided, they've done the best. I mean, you have parents that do what they're supposed to do out here. And for whatever reasons, their children go astray. So they're kicking themselves. They're blaming themselves.
you know, and I say this, and I'm not trying to put nobody's business out there, but I'm just being straight. You know, I know he and she is listening to the show. Forgive yourself. Let it go. I mean, you provided a home. You did what you're supposed to have done. They've made a choice, and that's the beautiful thing what God does with us. He provides us with choice. And if you've done all that you can do, it's up to your child, you know, to do the right thing. You know, do all the lessons that was taught, all the moral values that was instilled inside of her or him. You know, like myself, I wasn't always the best of the best, and you know, I continue to try to be be better than who I am. You know, it was like the prodigal son. I had to go through something to learn from coming back. I had to learn to forgive myself in my past ways so I become a better man. So I'm not saying I'm perfect, and I'm continuing to strive to be better, but I say that to a couple of parents that's listening. I say that to a couple of family members. Let the past go. And I'm going to even talk to some friends. Listen, I'm going to be straight up. We may not always agree. We may not always see eye to eye. We may outgrow each other, but does not mean you're still my friend or you're still my brother or my sister. Still have love to you. You know who you are. This is going out to you. And I just want to say, it's about forgiveness because love is always going to be there, brother. I mean, I'm not going to beat myself up. I don't expect you to beat yourself up, but forgiveness and love is always there. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
I mean, Brother Dow?
Yes, sir. Here we go. Hatred. Hatred is one of the biggest, if not the largest thing that keeps us where we are, where we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's self-loathing, whether it is jealousy of another human being, whether
mm-hmm.
it's animosity from one person to another. Now, let's deal with animosity from one person to another. No matter
okay.
what was done to you, what was said to you, and which was hurtful, and it was mean, and it was this, it was that, or what was done was cold, it was this, it was that. I think Eddie said it best. The person who did this was an act in a moment of time. Whether I said something, I did something, it was an act in a moment of time. The second that it was over, the second that 9 times out of 10, I forgot about it.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm living fine.
Yeah.
But you're holding on to a whole bunch of animosity toward me about something that really I'm not thinking about. Or let's put it on me. I'm losing sleep at night. You know, I'm cursing your name. I am ready to run you down in the middle of the road, son. I'm that into what happened between me and you whenever. But
mm-hmm.
is it really that important? I mean, in the long run, really, does it really matter that much? Is it that important? Is it more important than your life? Is it more important than what's going on with your family, with your friends, with
mm-hmm.
you know, the thing that God has you here to do is what has happened in the past. You can't do nothing about the past. The past is over.
That's it.
Once it's over, it's done. Now, we all make mistakes. We all fall short. Everybody does. There's some things that I've done in my 20s and my 30s. There's some things that I did last week. You know, last week, yesterday, you try to get it right every day, and you try to do a little bit better today than you did yesterday, and you're going to try to do a little bit better tomorrow than you did today. Absolutely. But we all fall short, and we all make mistakes. If I've done anything to hurt anybody, I'll be the first one to tell you I'm sorry. I apologize, because that was not my intent. I might disagree with you. I might think that you're butt backward and completely wrong. But understand, I'm only conveying this to you because I want what is best for you. If I think that you're wrong, I'm telling you that I believe that you're wrong, and I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it's not out of harm or malice. I'm not trying to put you somewhere to harm you. I'm trying to enlighten you to the best of my ability. Now, am I right or wrong? Who knows? But I'm just giving you what my opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
If something demonstrated to me that this is what it is, this is what I'm sharing with you. But
mm-hmm.
it's not to cause friction or animosity between me and you. We're not going to agree with each other 100% of the time. Nobody does. So you just got to learn how to let stuff go. If something bothers you, get it out of the way right then, right there. Don't hold on to it. Because you hold on to it, the only person you're harming is yourself.
Yes,
if you do not forgive those who trespass against you or someone who does you dirty,
mm-hmm.
then God won't forgive you of your trespasses. Because trust me, you got some.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, you cannot, you know, sit there, you know, with your chest all puffed out, like you've never done anything wrong to anybody, anytime, anywhere, or you can comprehend somebody making a mistake, or comprehend somebody doing something stupid. When you've made mistakes, you've been stupid yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how can you look to somebody else, you know, with such a hard heart, but when it happens to you, or when you do something, you want somebody to be able to see it from your perspective.
That's the way it is.
It is the way that it is. But, you know, that's how it
goes. Now, let me throw a couple scenarios at you two gentlemen.
All right.
I mean, I know it's cliche. I know they make plays about it. You see it on Lifetime. Here's forgiveness. Let's put a scenario. Let's use relationships, and we're going to go around the board on this one. I want to get to this before we go to the set of music. Now, your spouse. I'm not going to say whether it's man or woman, because I'm going to go back to my brother Eddie about individuals. It doesn't matter. Your spouse.
You know, if you didn't do it, I was.
Yeah, okay. I know. Hey, listen, man. That's why I said spouse, my brother. we're evolving here on the Man Up Show, brother. But your spouse caught cheating. He or she caught cheating. All right. Two ways to look at it. Either they got caught or they admitted. However, doesn't matter. However, the dinner got presented, it got presented. Now. They love you. Oh, boo. Oh, come on, baby. Oh, come on, honey. You know, come on. We can do this. You know, I was an act of weakness. Whatever. Where's the forgiveness at? Or should there even be forgiveness? And does the situation change in different environments? Please elaborate, gentlemen.
You want to go first, Darryl, or you want me to go first?
Go ahead, Eddie. Take it first.
It depends on a whole bunch of things.
Okay,
but
let's go.
I'm not going to alter my message. Definitely, forgiveness is in order. The way that I operate, and I'm not trying to force my views on anyone, but the way that I operate, I always operate. I look at myself first and work my way out. I look at myself mm-hmm. first and work my way out. So if you cheated on me, I'm looking at myself first and working my way out. What did I do myself that can potentially have pushed you out there to cheat?
Mm-hmm.
Where did I lack? Where did I come short, or where did I fall short?
Fall short is a better word, bro.
And if I find fault in myself, I'm going to take those steps and bring those steps to the table to make sure that I can try to do better to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And at the same token, if I go through all of this and don't find anything, my next step is to analyze our relationship and see if, for one, you are still wanting to work it out. With me to see if we have something that's worth even trying to fix or build upon, and then go from there. But ultimately, I have to forgive myself and forgive you for whatever happened, whether that means that we are separating, getting a divorce, or cutting ties. I have to forgive you for what happened, and it goes back to what Brother Darryl said. In the end, I don't care who you are. I don't care how great of a man you are, or what have you. You have done some things that you wanted forgiveness for, and when mm-hmm. the shoe is on the other foot, you are going to try to share your reasons for doing what have you. And in the end, there's always a reason. I don't care what people say, I'm sorry. People say I'm sorry and all this stuff. I didn't mean it, whatever. That's BS to me. I've never done anything that I didn't want to do. I enjoyed the feeling of doing what I did. Now I might apologize for what it did to you.
Right.
In regards to how you felt when you realized that I did it, or heard that I did it, or I told you that I did it, but I am not apologizing for what I did. That's the reality of what it is. I'm sorry for anybody that's going to sit here and just lie and say that you're sorry for sleeping with somebody. There's no way in hell. you have remorse while you had an erection going up in somebody.
Hey,
you have remorse while you were wet or whatever when you were receiving whatever you received. You wanted exactly what you got. Or what you gave. That's BS. And you just sorry that you got caught, or you sorry that it hurt the person that it hurt so much. But you're not sorry for what you did. So that's pretty much my whole thing. I always start with me first, because I just want to make sure that it's nothing that I did first and nothing that I could have prevented. And if there is, I'm going to work on fixing that and see if we can grow from there. And through that, forgiveness. Now, I'm speaking from stuff that I've lived and stuff that I've done on both ends, the receiving end as far as the giving end. And I'm talking about the receiving end of cheating and the giving end of cheating. So that is my approach. That's the way I grow. That's the way that we can grow and go from there. Now, I cannot control your forgiveness. I can only control mine. So that's how I work on what myself first. What did I see, and then work my way out. Now, it all falls down on what forgiveness is. Remember, forgiveness is when you can't, when you no longer have a feeling when you are reminded of whatever it is that you experienced. So, no one understands this. So before you say, yeah, I forgave her or I forgave him, if you're constantly bringing up that situation when y'all supposedly got over that,
right?
you didn't forgive him.
Thank
and,
you.
And,
no,
and
you repeat that, bro. You have to repeat that. Please say that again.
And it's still festering. So if you are constantly bringing, every time something happens, you're bringing up that one situation or whatever, or that scenario, you did not forgive them. You guys did not move on from that spot, even though it was 3 or 4 years ago. Y'all are still where y'all were, and it's just as fresh then, like the blood of Jesus, than it is now. It still is potent. You did not forgive them, and that needs to be addressed so that you all can move on and grow in y'all's relationship. So
Very good answer, brother. Very good. Still going on about it. Haven't forgave. Oh, yeah, but we good. But you're still arguing about it a year later. Listen, man, I've been a little guilty of that myself.
Yeah, I forgive, but I don't forget. Well, if you forgive, but you don't forget, you still wouldn't bring up what you forgave them for. If you really forgave them, you wouldn't have to bring it up. Even if you, like I said, if you see that person or if you revisit that thing, you won't have that issue in your stomach anymore.
I felt good after I handled some business with some bullies when I got older and I was drinking milk. So I didn't forgive them, brother, but I damn sure made sure they didn't forget. Believe that.
So that's my take on it, man. Daryl,
you want to... Here we go. It depends on this. There are certain variables to this. One, what is the status of your relationship with your spouse? Is this something that y'all have years in the game? You got kids in the game? What is it? What's the stakes here? You two have only been together for a couple of months. You don't have anything invested, really invested. that has a large part to do with, now, like Ed said, forgiveness, you have to forgive, period, whether you stay together or you separate. I got to be able to deal with what happened. And, yes, you do have to look at yourself. You do have to try to figure out, you know, what was my part in this? Did I neglect my relationship to the extent that she needed a supplement?
Mm-hmm.
There was something that I wasn't providing, that it was so glaring and it was so outstanding that it had to be supplied.
Yeah.
And normally that comes from some form of either neglect or just a certain level of ambivalence by us.
Mm-hmm.
I got like that. Sometimes we don't get what we did to get it in the first place. You know, you meet this woman, you court this woman, you woo this woman, you show her how important she is to you. But once you have her, not important anymore. So you don't go through that effort. So, yeah, you do have to look to see where, what you had, what was your stake in it. Now, after figuring, seeing where she's coming from, is this, you know, sometimes, not saying all sisters, but sometimes a sister will do something to teach you a lesson. It's some sort of revenge. It's some sort of lesson towards you. I mean, it's not as something as simple as with us. We got drunk. She had a big booty. This was a good idea. I did it. That's what happens normally with us. I mean, it could be something just that simple. We were in the wrong place at the wrong time. We were feeling vulnerable. We were feeling a certain level of appreciation for something else. And we wandered, we strayed, we did X, Y, and Z. This is what happened. Without taken into consideration. But this is where only everybody disagrees with Eddie. Yeah, sometimes we do regret it. Not while it's happening. You're absolutely right. If you're coming, you ain't regretting a thing. Anytime that I've ever taken in the past and I was coming, I didn't regret a damn thing. I enjoyed every second of it. Absolutely. But when you look at the damage that you've done to your kids, to your wife, to your family, yeah, you do regret that. Because some things you do take back. There's some things you can't explain. Like, God forbid, you come home and you give your wife a disease that you can't give back.
I don't know if there's forgiveness on that.
Stupidity. Based upon your stupidity. And, you know, now you're looking at, you know, leaving your children without a future, without a mother and a father, based on your stupidity. So there's so much that you can end up regretting. I pray to God that, you know, nobody listening has these type of regrets, and I pray to God that they never will. But there's sometimes, yeah, you do have regrets, and you wish to God you never did it, but you did. But you still have to go to that person humbly, honestly, and seek their forgiveness. You know, we might never, ever be what we were to one another, but I am sorry. I do regret what I've done. I did not sin. I was stupid. Bop, 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 bop. If it's on you. But you also have to be man enough to take it if it happens to you. Baby, I wasn't thinking. I didn't realize what it was that we could lose in what I did. And then you have to realize, based upon what you do have, you know, house, car, kids, you know, kids going to college, this, that, and the other thing. What you have invested, you know, you got 20 years invested in an individual and a life that you built together. Are you willing to let it all go based on an indiscretion that lasted all of 15 minutes? Are you willing to throw away 20 years for 15 minutes? That's up to you.
Now, I personally think that we're saying the same thing, but a different way. I think we actually do agree with each other, because you said when you were in the act, you didn't regret. You enjoyed what you were doing. You regretted the result of the act, And that's what I said earlier. I'm not sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for the outcome that came from what I did. I mean, you know, we think differently, but we think the same. But I don't know about you, but if I ended up in a place where I was quote unquote drunk, and I found a nice booty and I got some, I wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was in the right place at the right time, but I just made the wrong choice with my opportunity.
So true.
But I'm confident. I thoroughly enjoyed that 15 minutes or whatever you gave the time for. But at the consequence if I was to foresee what was going to come from it, would I have done it? I don't think so. Me personally, I don't have one regret in my life. I have what ifs. I have zero regrets because everything that I've done prior to this moment has gotten me where I am. I personally think that we definitely agree. We just said it differently. I don't see that we disagree with each other at all. And another thing too that's dangerous, and I heard you say that, is it worth giving up 20 years of all the stuff that we have invested? That's something that's really dangerous because people do it and within the first year, within not being married, to headed to being married or whatever, because of all those things that they have invested. And what they end up doing is they end up birthing resentment in their children, or just an improper way of teaching how to love, because they're staying together due to those quote-unquote investments or things that they've built together. And that's very dangerous, and it happens all the time where we say, well, statistics show that two parents in one household will raise a better child or what have you, yet what you guys are raising or showing them is how to get along terribly in a relationship to where they're going to duplicate it in their own. And then they probably will resent you from that, and then they'll have to start the whole forgiveness process, or they won't learn that you can forgive someone and move on and still be friends and get along better than you all would have had you all tried to stick it out and stay together. So in the end, the message is for your health as well as their health and their mental well-being. When you weigh those options, like I said, weighing whether it's worth saving or not, or if they want to even save it or not, should be what determines whether you stay or not. Because to try to stay with somebody that doesn't, the reflection to the children and those, because we're always ministering. I don't care where you are, whether you are a minister, you're always ministering. People are watching and they're taking notes as to how you guys are being portrayed, or your relationship is being shown, and some people are taking notes as that's the way to do it, and some people are taking notes as that's the way you're not supposed to do it. That's just something that's really sensitive, a sensitive topic to me when we say to, you know, we got kids, we got house and all that stuff. We can't just give this thing up. Yes, you can. If this stuff is being detrimental to your health and your children and all that stuff like that, you're going to have to do it.
I think we have a question. I'm not sure. Brother Ed, I'm not sure. I have a question on the switchboard. I think it's Sig. I have a question. The board popped up.
I'm not
sure
if it's a switchboard. It might be. Hold on.
Let me see. But I think we got another line. We got one of our one and only. Big shout out to Sig. I believe she had a question for the panel.
There she go.
Yeah.
Hello.
Good evening. Good afternoon. Feliz Navidad. You know, Merry Christmas. What's going on? Is this the lovely Miss Sig?
Of course, darling. Of course.
Once again, for the ladies and gentlemen, those just tuning in, you know, she's always behind the scenes, but she's also, I would call it, keeping the engine going. So we want to send a shout out and love to Sig. Welcome to the show. I know she always has something powerful to say.
I have a couple of things. Forgiveness. First,
yes.
I want to say you guys are great. Listening to the show, and I'm going to be honest, I get something out of it every week. Every week you guys have me apologizing to somebody that tells you who I am. But y'all talking about forgiveness. Now, I'm going to need some help with this because to me, if you do something to me, I have no gray area. I have no gray area. Everything's black or white. So if you do something and you piss me off, I'm going to shut you out. First, I'm going to tell you why you're being shut out. And it's not about forgiveness. It's about dismissal. You are now dismissed from my life. People are always questioning me about that because, and I don't care if they're listening, I have some sisters and I can't stand I cannot stand my sisters. They make me sick.
Oh, jeez, sick.
No, we had a talk about it. And when they said what they had to say and I said what I had to say, and then I gave all of them their phone numbers and addresses to let them know you're done. I'm done with you. For me, with them, it's not about forgiveness because to me, or tell me if I'm wrong, that's what I'm asking. Is it about forgiveness? Am I not forgiving them? Or is the dismissal, the dismissal from my life enough for me? Should that be enough?
No, I mean, it's all dependent. It's all dependent on like I said, how you feel when you see them. If you still got issues when you see them, or you turning your face up, you can't stand them at the family reunion. And I know this to be true, see, because we talk all the time. If that is where you are, you did not forgive them for what they have done, and that is a problem. Now, granted, I dismiss people all the time. And pray for them at the same time.
I've
forgiven them.
What I told you when we went to my dad's retirement and they were all there, it wasn't enough liquor in the state of Illinois for me to try to be nice to them. I went, you know I don't like you. I have no ill feelings at all. I have, if something happened to them, if somebody did something to them, yeah, I would feel for my sisters. Yeah, I said that and I said that. But at the same time, don't call me playing Miss Pollyanna on my phone. Don't call me, don't text me, don't email me. I gave you your contact information. I'm done. So I don't think it's about forgiving them. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean,
I just don't want them to be in my life anymore. I can't choose my siblings. Well, I did replace you and my other brother. But I'm not trying to replace my sisters because I'm not interested in that relationship.
Yeah, I just don't want
to be with them.
As long as you are not losing any sleep or rest behind them, I definitely will pray for that relationship. But if it's not bothering you, if you don't think about them, or like I say, you don't get frustrated, it seems like you just get frustrated at the fact that they're even trying to have a relationship with you or act like nothing ever happened to you, or like you didn't cut them off like you told them to, which makes you feel the need to remind them that you did. I think honestly, it's nothing wrong with cutting somebody off and keeping it moving.
I had no feelings about it whatsoever, not even the day I did it. I did it. I said, I'm going to go see my mom. Bye. And I went and saw my mom.
Then they are forgiven. They are forgiven.
I hope they heard that. Please quit calling
me. They are forgiven. If you are numb to them and they don't have any effect on you or what have you, you are far from their thoughts, they're forgiven.
Okay.
They're forgiven.
Well, make sure.
If you can honestly wish them
y'all
that.
Y'all keep me apologizing to people every freaking week, man.
Wow.
Now, I have another
question. What were you saying? Hold on, Daryl was saying something.
Here you go. If you can honestly just wish them best, you know, I hope everything works out for you. You take care. See you.
That's good.
I'm going to the left, going to the right. And I have no emotional or vested interest in it. Then it's cool. Mm-hmm. You know,
okay.
You just need to do what you need to do. I need to do what I need to do. And we just don't need to do it together.
Oh, my God. They do it. They do follow everything I do. Please tell me they're listening. I swear they get on my nerves. Okay, thank you. Because I was about to say, I got to apologize to those four helpers. I'm going to stop talking to y'all. This is my other question. Now, y'all say in relationships, when you're in a relationship and when you cheat and you ask for forgiveness and you got to consider, you know, how long you've been in a relationship. Now, I disagree with that. Because a couple of things happen when you cheat, and yes, Lord knows, I perfected cheating. I wrote rules for it. When you are getting ready to cheat, you are not thinking about that person who has your heart.
I know.
You're thinking about, oh, my God, is this going to be as good as I'm thinking it's going to be?
Exactly.
If you not consider losing anything, then you won't cheat. Cheaters will not exist.
You would.
So, I don't think that, to me, cheating doesn't matter if you've been in a relationship, if you're in a committed relationship at any level. I don't care how many years you've been in there, whether you have kids or not or whatever. I don't care what your investment is. If you are in a committed relationship with that person, then I don't care what happens. You cheat, you. And if you want forgiveness, then you've got to get your forgiveness. And I don't, and I agree that, you know, you don't be sorry that you cheated. You're just sorry because you caught.
Yeah, that's right. I told you. I agree with you 100%.
What I'm sorry about is I got to have this conversation with you because for some reason, you know me and y'all want freaking details. I don't want any details. I'm not trying to give you any details because y'all will get me killed. So, no.
Yeah.
So I just think if you cheat, if you actually go through the whole complete act of cheating, you didn't care about nobody but the moments you were having.
That's correct. That's correct.
And that's it. And I don't care if you... To me, it doesn't matter where you are in your state of your relationship. And I want to ask one question to the guys who seem like all y'all done cheated before. Why y'all cheat down?
Well, we what now?
Y'all cheat down.
You said
y'all
why cheat now?
Y'all cheat down. Like, when you say, okay, you got to consider what you did. Say you cheat, and not just one time, you start, like, really having this thing with somebody. You're having a relationship with somebody that has nothing to bring to the table. Can't compare to what you have at home.
Why
cheat?
You guys
cheat down. Tell me why.
No, the hell I don't. Or no, the hell I didn't. Let me rephrase.
Oh,
no, the hell I didn't.
You trying to say you upgrades.
Let me clarify. No, the hell I didn't. First and foremost, the only I'm glad you brought that up because the only thing that would even cause me to entertain the thought or consider cheating is if you can mentally stimulate my thought process, which is a rarity in itself, that someone will be able to do that. So my wife just has that ability, and for somebody to take my thought process off my wife, for one, it would have had to been a serious time or a struggle for me and my wife to be going through for me to even entertain your thoughts. Or, two, we our relationship came from us being friends, and throughout that friendship, something grew because of the time that we spent together, and something sparked something. But I've never in my life, put this on the air, I've never in my life had a one-night stand because I'm just not that lustful type dude where, dang, she banging, because most of the time, dang, she banging, end up being after she talked, it's like, dang, she is ratchet. Yeah. She looks disgusting. So, it's a process for you to be able to get me to even consider going that route. And I have so many defense mechanisms that I have to prevent me from going that route. At this point in my life, one being definitely my wife being there whenever I'm abroad or what have you. Two would be to have a cop blocker intentionally in place with me, whether it's a friend who I tell them this is your job, make sure that I'm not with anybody by myself for a long period of time, or I'll bring someone who doesn't realize that they are just a hater to make sure that they do their job as a hater to say stuff like, if I'm having a conversation with a female, hey, Eddie, how's your wife and kids? Just to bring it up so that they can work their way into that conversation, but they did their job. Three, to intentionally not have any kind of protection with me because I would have to leave the situation to get the protection because there's no way in hell I'm trusting your protection for me to do that I want. And if I leave, I've made my way out the door, and there's no way in hell that I'm coming back. So those are my three sources of protection to prevent myself from doing anything because I am. That is my weak.
But you didn't answer my
woman,
question.
I don't. Well, the answer to my question,
well,
I don't go down. Hell no. Why would you do that? That is just stupid.
No, because, I mean, that's what men do. You have a successful wife at home, and then you go cheat with the girl two doors down, and she on welfare with six kids and seven baby daddies. Y'all do that.
Some men do that. And let's address this, too, because I do want to speak to this. And this is actually, this is probably going to surprise Nas, but this is something that I actually do feel that men kind of have more of a weakness than females are concerned. Females, for the most part of their lives, get hit on from, I can't even give you an age, all the way up to where they are. So they are accustomed to saying no. And they're accustomed to being hit on, and to the point where they're kind of desensitized to the fact that anybody's going to hit on them. Guys, because it's supposedly through the media or being taught or known to be the quote-unquote hunters, if you will, it's a rarity that we get hit on, and not in this day and age, but it's a rarity that we got hit on from when we were a child all the way up into wherever you are now, to where when someone actually shows you interest, it's like, well, dang, that's a rarity. I think I might want to try that. Not even considering who they are, what they have to offer, or what have you. It's just a rarity that somebody comes and hunts us as opposed to us hunting them. So because of that, it's no different from that person that has a low self-esteem and somebody calls them pretty. they eat that up, and they're like, okay, I'll give you some because you said you love me. But it didn't really resonate in their actions or what they did, but it was such a rarity that it made them feel good for that moment, and they just wanted to take the opportunity to experience that because it's very rare that they experienced it before. So I personally think that it is in those times that, without thinking, it's like, damn, I very rarely get somebody to just be like, yo, she gonna grab my junk and she don't care. You gonna give me this. So I'm gonna give it to her because it's just weird. And I just want to take advantage of the opportunity because it's a rarity that it happens. No one talks to me like this. This kind of sexy. I wish my wife would talk to me like this. But if I brought it to her, I think she gonna think I'm kind of freaky. Something's wrong with me. So I got this. That's an issue that happens in other people's relationships. You're scared to bring up stuff, to your wife. It's a possibility. I'm not saying that's what it is, but I think it's a possibility. It's I deal with people and relationships all the time whereby, you know, they really have these little secret nasty fantasies or whatever that they want to bring or pose to their wife, but because they didn't do it yet, they should have just. That's just not what they do. Not even realizing that that's what their wife want to do, but they, as they say, that's what they want to do, so they keep it to themselves. So both of them probably had the same freaky fantasy, but because no one is willing to communicate out of fear of being rejected or just looking odd or weird because of their quote-unquote freakiness, they don't say anything about it. So then when that person on the outside gives you exactly what you want, and then you have all this porn on the website that you can go to the category of what you want and just get that right there, exactly what you're looking for. It's a lot of things that will kind of cause you to be weak and give into the moment.
Well, if you say so. Now, I still got to make an apology to somebody.
Think about it, man. How often do females get hit on a daily basis? And how often do men get hit on a daily basis? It's a rarity.
I do look a little shocked when women hit on y'all. I don't understand what the fuck.
Yeah, like, where did this come from? Oh, my God, did you see what she just did to me? And it's
no
like,
comment.
Oh, my God. At first,
no
first you say it out loud,
why
and then you think
about
it, oh, my God.
Stop. Who said no comment? Come on, don't play that game. Comment.
I'm pretty good in that department. I'm good.
Really?
I filed sexual harassment charges before.
You know what? These people in your men and sexual harassment charges, y'all make me sick.
Like, ma'am, please, can you please not grab my junk, please? I'm at work. You know, I'm sitting there, you know, I'm going to the house doing an investigation. Like, ma'am, you cannot, you know, wear, you know, the thong and the see-through nighty. Can you please get dressed?
You're right. You're exactly
you
right.
You just can't do it. Well, you got a job and benefits. got a family, too.
I signed your paycheck. What now?
Yeah. Yeah.
My love, hold on, listen. I want to keep this going. I want to keep this going for time restraints. I want to get into the root of it. Can I keep you guys on the show for to the root of it?
Oh,
can I keep y'all on for to the root of it?
Yeah.
Brother Dow, okay. So let me do the intro for to the root of it, and let's continue this on. And Brother Eddie, you got to go into the thought of the day and your topic right from there. So once again, for those just tuning in, we appreciate you checking out the show. It ran smooth. We're gonna go right now to the pilot series, kind of the second half of to the Man Up Show, but to the one and only to the brother Edward L. Fairley, to the root of it. It's going down here at Shadow Worlds Radio.
He's beginning to believe the body cannot live without him.
This passage is just waiting for us. We're gonna sit back on it for a while, and then we'll sweat a lot.
Now we gotta talk.
Hold on. Basically, communicate with yourself first. You have to first know yourself and figure out the process of learning how to understand you.
What are you?
I'm complicated.
You know, I just came to check up on
you. And the radio show called To the Root of It.
This is my passion. To the root of it.
So, it's for one, getting to the root of the things that we do, communicating in a manner that they understand why, so that they can now work on trying to break a habit.
To the root of it.
Someone does the opposite of what is
quote unquote
common sense. But if common sense is common, everybody would know to do it, and there would be no need to correct someone or tell someone that they're not doing what everyone knows common.
Okay, I've digested what he said to me in good faith. Now let me see if I can expand upon it and if I can make it work for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing
Edward L. Fairley.
Radio show to the root of it.
It's time to keep you out of my time.
So we're to the root of it, the part two pilot series, introducing the brother Edward L. Fairley. What's going on, brother? We are back with another segment.
Man, like the song says, something ain't right.
You gonna come right in. You gonna come right in with that, all right?
Something ain't right, and you know what? Something ain't right, and that's what's wrong with the world today. Because most people start off with whatever does not align with whatever I'm feeling ain't right. That's the problem, and that's why we got to get to the root of it, so that we can look at different scenarios and people's outlooks and perspectives to kind of figure out, well, maybe they are right and we're both right, or we should just come together and figure out what we can do right to make this situation right. That's why we're here today. And I also just want to get to the root of a couple of things that we talked about today in regards to forgiveness. First and foremost, if you envy somebody and you're jealous of someone based on their experience or how they live or what they have versus what you don't have, the root of jealousy and envy is not being happy with yourself. So let's make sure that we are understanding where jealousy and envy comes from. You don't like you. So you got to work on you so that you can relieve yourself of the jealousy or the envy that you have towards somebody else. So I just felt the need, because I heard Brother Darryl bring that up, and I wanted to make sure that we got to the root of that. Because envy, people are, you know, so envious of other people, but not realizing that, yeah, envy is just based on you wanting to be that person.
Right.
Which is, first of all, not possible, because you are you, and I'm going to need you to be the best you could be. And second of all, you need to work on yourself and the gifts that you were given so that you can be the best you, so that somebody could want to or aspire to be like you. So I just wanted to tackle that. As far as the whole regret and forgiveness thing, that is definitely something that we're definitely going to have to revisit. I'm hoping Nas will bring that back, because that is a excellent topic to discuss. We have a lot of families that are just broken. You got people that don't even like each other at the family reunion. There's clicks and family reunions. What is going on with that? See, what's with
I don't go to family reunions anymore.
I know. See, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. We got clicks and crews within the family reunion. They all got the same shirt on, but they're divided within the same family. That's the show.
Black,
show.
We get along.
When I go, I wear a different shirt. I do wear a different shirt.
She walked around with
a last name.
She walked around with her current last name. She just disregarded the maiden name. That is hilarious. I love it. But tonight, to the root of it topic is, if you had the opportunity to choose, knowing that you were going to end up with both, which one would you choose first? Would you choose love or financial wealth? This is the question I want to pose. Make sure that you guys call in tonight, but if you don't, we're still going to have the conversation about it anyway with the roundtable. I want to pose a question to you all, Sig and Daryl and Nas. If you could choose, which would you have first, love or financial wealth, and why? Don't forget the why.
It's not a good question. It ain't a good question. I'm going to tell you why. Financial, brother. Because you can't live off I love you alone. You can't say I love you when the bills ain't paid. I need financial, bro. Listen, man. You can't live off of love alone. This is real talk. See, I experienced that. I tried that young love dumb stuff. You know, oh, baby, I love you. You know, we can ride and die for each other. We don't need it. We can sneak it to the movie theater together. No, you can't share the same bag of popcorn. You can't do it.
Okay.
No.
No,
listen, man.
No,
let me tell you something. Hey, you ain't getting no play with no cash in your pocket.
Wow. We're not gonna address anybody's topics until later. Their response until later. We just want to hear the panel's response. We'll get into the root of that process. I'm sorry, brother.
Love is good, but I need to get money.
It's bad when I hear your thoughts, Sig, before the thoughts come out your mouth. No, Sig. And when you answer, you will not direct your answer towards him. You will just share your answer, Sig. What would you pick? What would you pick first, love or financial wealth, and why?
Love.
I'm picking
love.
I'm
picking love because I know what happens when you have financial first.
Okay.
What do you mean? Could you elaborate on that? You know what it mean? You know what happens when you have financial perks, you said?
When you have it first.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you mean by that? Could you elaborate, please?
Having financial first, when you meet somebody and you start feeling for this person and they know that you have this financial, then you're gonna question whether or not they love you or your money.
Got it.
All right,
Daryl.
All right, here we go. Without piggybacking over either one, I have to say, actually, love. Now, I'm not saying be dirt broke, destitute.
Wow.
What was said was, you know, you may hit it big. There's nothing like being able to build something with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
able to share the glory of building it together.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes mm-hmm. when we do it by ourselves, you know, we forget to give God the glory. We forget to give anybody the glory. It becomes the world to me. I did this. This is what I did. This is about me. You know, this is a tribute to me. And then, you know, you come across somebody, you know, you don't have a tendency to appreciate them on the level for which they are because you're so busy appreciating yourself.
Yeah, that's good.
You know
good.
What I mean? So, for me, you know, let me, you know, come across that person, you know, whether it was when I was younger or have I been, as I've been blessed to come across somebody as I'm a little older now, where you understand that you and that person have the same priorities, y'all want the same things, y'all can speak the same words and be genuine about it. You got love for that person, you in love with that person, and y'all build something together. You know, y'all see something that, you know, that's in need. Y'all put it together, you know, she's strong when you weak when she's strong, then y'all put it together, you build something, and then you make it. Man, that's a whole lot better than when you just did it by yourself. So, I would choose love.
All right,
but that, let me make this perfectly clear. I'm not saying the appropriate thing is trying to run after a woman.
Wait, I got something to say, damn it. I got something to say.
All right, hold on. All right, now I got it. I have to.
I know you're coming back to me. I know.
On both sides. I'm doing it on both sides. All right, so, Nas, this is hilarious to me. just like Sig said, if you are that wealthy person, that financially wealthy person, and someone they express you see it all the time. You got your Tiger Woods. You got all these different ballers that are financially wealthy who they're getting married. Donald Trump, and they are leaving with their funds. How do you know that person really loves you for you as opposed to loving you for your financial achievements?
Now, I hear what you're saying. I mean, the question you posed was, what would I choose first? You know, yeah. I mean, at this point, now I hear you. I chose the financial first. Now, I understand the answers that, you know, that Sig and Dell said. I understand it. And I do want love. I do want love. But let me first put this out there. Both of you guys got money, right? Both of you guys got money, right? So people with money are going to say, I want love, of course. They're going to say that. Because when you got somebody bum-ass and broke coming up to you, hey, how you doing, boo? Maybe their breath stink. You got no, you know, they all ripped up. Yo, I've been watching you for a while. I love, you know, I think I love you. Let's hook up. You're like, hell no.
Hey, y'all.
Some stinky hood rack chick came up to you. Come on, man.
I want y'all to take note. Hold on, I want y'all to take note, y'all. Because what's happening right now is exactly why on my talk show, these people's interviews are going to be previously recorded without them being in the room with other people.
No, this is radio.
I was shaking off. I mean, seriously, did you have somebody with no teeth coming up talking to some, hey, baby, I think I love you? Really, dude?
Man, I've met women like that. I've seen dudes like that with no money in their pockets. I mean, literally, just like, you know, I'm so in love with her, I can't even get a time of day. They won't give this person a time of day because of their financial status, and this person's been really good, a really good dude. He's been down his luck, but he knows, listen, there's something about this woman I like. You know, she got her money right. She went to college. She got a good job, but she will not give him a time of day.
Okay, but Nas, and let me ask you this. Say you are destitute. That's a good word.
I've been homeless.
Okay.
I've been homeless, so I know.
Okay. And you see somebody and you want to get with that person, and you're not a bad guy. You just have a bad situation. Hey, do you want to be with that chick that only care about your bottom line?
Now, hold up. Now we didn't discuss the finance, but I see her. I don't know her finances, but it's something about her. I see it. Whether I'm going to work or I just see her. I see her.
Okay.
I just like the way she is.
Okay, and that's cool. But she's not giving you the time of day. And if you try to talk to her, you'll find out more about her, because that's what people do. When you're really interested in somebody, you try to find out some part of their story. And you out she has a bottom line as big as her ass, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason she's not giving you the time of day is because you can't bring to the table what she brings to the table. Do you really want to be with that trick?
No, that's true. That's a good point. But you know what? That motivates me, because I want to bring my game up. I hear what you're saying.
Hold on. Pause. Because I asked a question a long time ago that has yet to be answered. We got to get back to the question. If you were to find someone with a wealthy status,
how do you know that they love you as opposed to your wealth? That's the only question that we should be talking about right now. We're
here's the answer. You know, you're not gonna know what they with you or not without unless time is put in. You have to put time in. That's the only way you're gonna find out who this person really about.
Okay, so
agreed?
In the end. I definitely agree, but and it's also different questions and stuff that can be asked, and we will talk about that when we get to the root of it in a few. But I just wanted to hear like your thoughts on how do you know that person is really in love with you? Because you said that you can't have love without money if you can't pay the bills.
No, I didn't say that. It's hard. It's hard to sustain a relationship without finances.
It's very hard to live off our love alone. Now, that's what I need to know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because if you lose that wealth, how do you know, aren't you going to want that person to stay with you?
Of course. I mean, no doubt. I mean, you want that in a perfect planet. You want that. I mean, you want that person to stay with you through thick and thin, and when they say for better or worse, when you go bankrupt, you're gonna find out. I mean, you know, everything was all good when the money was there, but you know, I mean, how do you really know? I mean, honestly, person say they love you, they doing all the little small things. When the money's good, money falls short, and y'all meet with adversity. How do you of course you want that person to stay there with you and rock and roll with you, and stuff like that. But you don't want your back kicked in during those hard times at the same time.
Excellent.
And then when you get, you know what I mean?
That's an excellent segue. Back to Daryl and Sid. Question. He brought up a great point, a question. He said that, how do you know that that's the case? So with you all stating that love is what you all want first, I'm going to ask Daryl first because I know my sister Sid and where she's going to go with this, but I'm going to ask Daryl first. With you wanting love first, how would you feel if you found love within a person or a woman that was wealthy financially, and she posed a prenuptial agreement for the marriage?
I wouldn't have a problem.
Did you say, damn, you're a funny guy. So you would have a problem. Why would you have a problem?
Okay, I wouldn't have a problem, because, one, I don't want anything that you have. It ain't about your economic wealth. That's not why I'm interested in.
Because
if that's the case, look, I can build my own portfolio. I don't need you to do that.
That's good. Okay.
So, that's perfectly fine. If this gives you peace of mind, by all means, let me provide for you peace of mind.
That's good.
I'm going to rise regardless.
That's good. That's wonderful.
It don't matter to me.
Sig. Same question.
Not signing no damn prenup. You
say what?
You're not signing no damn prenup.
Okay, so the question is, my question to you was, you saying you're not signing no damn prenup, as I quote to you. Do you not feel that is a wealthy financial person's way of getting love first, as you stated that you would want a prenup is a wealthy person that's financially wealthy's way of getting or finding out if they're getting love first as opposed to someone that wants them financially?
Hell no. You want to know what a prenup is? Dang. Let me tell you what a prenup is.
Let's go. Please, sister, let's go.
Prenup is a plan to divorce my ass.
Okay.
And to tell me what I was only worth to you, $1 million for each year or whatever it is. And it means you don't love me. You don't love me. You don't trust me. You want me to sign a prenup? Go down the street and marry Boom Chica ass. I'm done.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not only do I not want your money, I don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not signing no damn prenup.
So the question is, how does a person that is financially wealthy find out if they have love first?
Then you don't sit up there and log that person with all your finances and your damn money. You log them with your person. You get to know them as a person one-on-one. They don't have to know that you're worth $5,000-$6,000 down the road. They don't have to know
good
that
answer.
Right now. You know what?
I like
if you
that
love
answer.
Me, you learn to love me. I'll tell you what I make later.
So,
So you're talking about taking the Prince Hakeem approach, basically, is what you're saying?
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you test somebody or anything like that. I'm saying that you present a basic cue. And that's just the truth, and that's in all honesty. And that's just how I approach life. I present a basic me, and that's what you get. You find out what's really going on with me later. When it comes up, if your only question to me is, how much money did you make, how much money you got in the bank, how can you afford this, how can you afford that, my answer to you is going to be, that Greyhound bus that you want me to buy your ticket. Because you're not interested in me. Get to know me, not what I do, not what I'm worth. Don't ask me retarded, crazy questions. And you know how I feel about that. That tells me,
yes,
like 4 or 5 years before you find out what I did or what I was worth. Please call in
on this topic, 646-478-4507. I want to hear you all's views on this. Again, it's 646-478-4507. Daryl, what are your thoughts on this, on Sig's response to,
wow.
I guess, the...
I hear where she's coming from so passionately, might I ask. You know, mighty passionately, might I ask. That you can see that a person who asks for a prenup is trying to basically get their best foot. They do not know. Because, you know, yes, Sig, I understand. Let them get to know the basic you, but if the basic you drives a my box, you know there's something there. if you're not living, where, let's say, your next door neighbor also has a gate that you have to be buzzed in to get onto the property. Okay, you are living a certain kind of way.
That's what I'm talking about. That's my dude right there.
Okay, no, wait a minute. Hold up. No, I say basic me. I mean basic me. I hate driving. I don't drive any of my cars.
Yes, yeah,
I don't drive them. You won't see them.
Yeah,
I'm dead serious.
She's right.
I'm dead serious. The basic me will, like right now, relocated to do a job. And instead of buying a house, I stayed in some extended stay quarters. Kind of like these little quarters. They're kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
People out here have no idea what I do. They know nothing
right.
about me. The basic me wears jeans from Walmart every day.
That's
I like the jeans from Walmart. They were made for me. But the basic me on my feet is normally a pair of Jimmy Choo's. I'm not going to lie about that. But you won't know they're Jimmy Choo's unless I take my shoe off.
Well, and see, guys, listen. This is why this is so important. Nothing that you all have said is incorrect. Nothing that you all have said is wrong, and it's based on your life experiences, your educational backgrounds, and your upbringing that causes you to come to the formulations of your thoughts that you do. Now, granted, you, Daryl and Sig, they both had the same choice, but they had a different perspective of the choice that they made, which is why I'm adamant about people sharing their stories and philosophies behind why they feel and choose the things that they do. Now, another thing that I want to add to this, because I know Signature, is that she is such a rarity in the way that she is. And that's another thing. Now we're talking about culture, because when we think us as a culture, when I say culture, I'm talking about black people, we tend, when we have wealth, to purchase those things that tell people that we have wealth. She's a rarity in the sense that she does not do that, which will cause someone to receive her in a just basic or normal setting. So we're thinking, I'm listening to Daryl and his responses and the fact that our lifestyles tend to match our incomes. So it will force or cause someone to assume or come to the conclusion that we are wealthy if we are wealthy. Whereas Caucasian people tend to, not all, but they tend to, when they're wealthy, and I meet millionaires all the time, you would never know based on what they drive or how they carry themselves or when you see them in the stores that they are wealthy. So there's an opportunity for those type of people if they're not famous TV wise or basketball, still TV wise, but just that success that is aware, there's a high awareness on it that they can live like Signature is saying in a manner that they can really find out if a person really loves them or not based on just living their everyday lives. So these are the reasons why I really am adamant and passionate about getting the root of it to the forefront of the world so that people can start seeing the different thought processes of each and every individual depending on the situation and the scenario so that they can become better educated in their decision-making as well as grow respect for one another and want to know more about each other through communication and asking the appropriate or right questions to just better be a community as a people and grow together as a whole. But you guys, I'm absolutely loving it, but something I wanted to bring up is the question. These are the questions that are great to ask to find out if somebody loves you. It's as simple as, why do you love me? Why do you love me? If everything that they say is materialistic, they don't love you. I mean, I'm just keeping it funky. If they cannot provide you with characteristics that align with the obvious characteristics that you portray and all that stuff, they have not been paying attention to your behind in the first place. They've been paying attention to your wealth or what have you. So a simple, open-ended question like, why do you love me, will give you a lot of information about another person. And like I said, if everything that they say is, oh, man, I like the way you walk, shawty. I like the way your hips curve and your breasts or whatever. I like your eyes or whatever. All that stuff is physical. They don't love you. They lust you.
Right.
And if they're talking about your money, I like how you always do things for me, how you always buy me things, how you always send me roses to my whatever. If everything that they say is physical, if you lose those things, you have lost them too. So these are the different things, or this is a simple question that you can ask somebody who claims that they do love you to find out if they really do. Now, granted, there are going to be some people with the gift of gab. I happen to be that person that will probably be able to give you a little more, but at the same time, that's when I'm going to need you to have better discernment, a greater relationship prayerfully with God so that you can discern someone that's being untruthful or someone that's just trying to be manipulative. So this has just been a great discussion. How do you feel about Sig saying that she wouldn't sign a prenup? And how do you feel about presenting a prenup if you were that wealthy person or when you become that wealthy person if somebody was to approach you, if you weren't married, not taking away from your wife? I'm just, this is all scenarios. Don't get at me, Miss Nas. Mrs. Nas.
Well,
don't snap on me.
Contrary, honestly, the real talk, yeah, I am about the financial and love follows behind it. Personally, if I love somebody, I'm going to put it on the table first. You know, listen, this is where we at, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm doing. I can pretty much find out within the first hour, the first day, what this person's all about. And I don't mind sharing my wealth with that person I love. I don't mind. I don't care. I figure it's a given. I'm not going to insult her and say, hey, look, you want to sign this prenup? Because it's not about that at the end of the day. Yeah, I'm about to finance it, but at the same time, I'm about putting all the cards on the table up front. This is what I got, what you got, what's up, what we doing?
All right, now granted, Nas, though you wouldn't do that, do you think that is a possible way to find out if a person really loves you or not? And do you think that their response, if they give you a response that is like, oh, hell no, that they really don't love you or that can possibly cause you to question whether they do love you or not?
No, real talk, real talk, I wouldn't even think about it. I mean, I just said, prenup, I don't even know where the hell that came from. I mean, I never really thought about that type of situation before.
Shit, question.
Yes.
If you being the wealthy person, y'all got married and everything like that, and he got accustomed to this new wonderful lifestyle that he did not know that she was Prince Akeem's sister, he landed on wealth, and he came to you with a bag full of love, though, but a bag nonetheless. And and you all did not make it, but he gets half. How, what's your thoughts on that?
I hope he's listening.
You said you hope he's listening?
I'm not going to ask a man to sign a prenup. I think that's
okay.
But say we go down the road and we don't make it. I'm going to make you a fair settlement. It's going to be very fair. If you think you're going to get half of my shit, you're wrong.
I agree with you, Sig, on that one.
You're not getting half of my shit. If you want to find out just how treacherous I am in court, try to take half. Try to take half, and I'm going to reach back to some old days. But I'll be around even get the part I was going to give you. You're not getting half of mine. I'm sorry. That's just the way
now,
it is.
Question, Sig. Another question.
Yes.
Because I know how you feel about me. and it's another thing I need you all to think. Whoever's listening to the show, I need you all to keep this in mind as well. Signature is a lawyer, so there's a bias in this whole thing when it comes to her. But I also want to ask her another question. When it comes to me, you are my contractual lawyer.
Yes.
If I was not married with the gifts and abilities that I have, would you have me present someone with a prenup if they wanted to marry me?
You'd have a 99-page prenup with all kind of crazy clauses in there because she ain't getting shit. She did not help her feel shit. She ain't getting shit. She don't deserve shit. You have potential for future earnings. Women like to divorce men with money and attach future earnings in a divorce decree. I don't think so.
Now, I want you all to hear
her name.
Now, I want y'all to hear this. The reason why I say this, and I wanted to bring this up, is because your values change depending on the situation.
Yeah.
Your values change depending on the situation. Whoever's listening, and this is what the root of it is about, your values change depending on the situation. So you might feel strongly about this one thing until this one thing throws a monkey wrench in the whole scenario or the thinking process, which would shift. Now, she has just proven that she is not an advocate of prenups, yet when it came to me, who I love and adore a signature so much, she is very protective of me, and it's a given that I'm going to have her. If I was not married, she would have a prenup signed and written up from her own words to make sure that I'm protected from someone who can potentially try to come at me with the mindset of getting wealth over my love.
Well, that's an easy answer, brother. That's business.
But so is a contractual agreement that says that you are married. That is in the contract.
No, I understand that, but I understand what Sig's saying. She's protecting her investment right now.
No, it's not that.
No, it's not. She's not protecting. No.
No?
That doesn't give her money.
No. He doesn't.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. What type of lawyer?
I love him.
I need that lawyer.
I would never charge him my fee. But the thing
well,
about
wait,
this,
a, wait a
I,
minute.
No,
so,
alone.
You want to you on deck? We got to call a signature after the show.
For real,
we got to call a signature.
Lord,
we been shopping
the
wrong damn mall.
Oh, God.
The thing is that, okay, I like I told Eddie, I believe in him. And yeah, I'm going to be very protective with him. Nobody's going to take him for anything if I can help it. And if they do, then they're really going to have to deal with me. And I'm just a totally different person on that level. It's just not going to happen that way. I believe in him, and that's just how I feel about it. That's how I feel like if I was an attorney for any of these people running around here and they had all this money and they had future earnings is what killed a lot of these divorces. No, you need a prenup, and all you give that trick is her name, her first name. You make sure that before she leaves the court, her last name has changed. I don't play that. Women are treacherous. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. You come in there with nothing. You want to attach a baby to him. You want to stay for 10 years and one day she can get half all kind of crap. Not going to happen.
And if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Sig, a prenup, that would be like a one-time benefit from you to come over the contract of a prenup. That would be a one-time benefit from you. That's not something that's ongoing, is it, in regards to you getting paid?
It's one time.
It's a one time. And that's what I was saying. That's what I meant by Nas. By it's not her protecting her assets.
Right.
So it's not that, like, after she did it, she's going to get paid. If she didn't give me a prenup, that would just be her suggestion to make sure that I'm protected in regards to my future. So that's protecting me, not protecting her.
Well,
kudos
to you guys. But damn.
That's why I love my city.
If he was to marry somebody,
I hate you two right now. Hate you two right now.
If something happens and somebody wanted to challenge my prenup, I'm gonna put on my suit, my Jimmy shoes, and I'm gonna go to court, and that's no charge either, because now you just pissed me off because you challenged the contract I wrote.
And this, honestly, I try to make sure that we can bring back all the stuff from my shoes. I mean, from the old shows. Do you not recall me saying, Nas, early in the earlier show, I forgot what it was, that I surround myself with people who are smarter than me? If you're the smartest person in your group, you need to change your group.
You're a user.
I'm glad you said that because I am, and so is everybody
in the world, but we don't use that word
because it just sounds bad, but everybody uses somebody for something. I don't care if it's for a conversation, if it's for love like we're talking about right now, if it's for financial gain, if it's to get me to across to another bridge or whatever. Everybody uses everybody. If you you can use them for conversation, you can use them to have a baby. Everybody is using someone. There's no one is having any kind of a relationship without the benefit of something within that relationship, or they won't have the relationship at all. Whether it's a company or whatever, everybody's using somebody, but we just don't like to use that word. But that is a reality.
And it's true. But talk to any successful person, they will tell you, you surround yourself with people that are smarter than you in their field. What you don't do is trust them totally, verify.
You're absolutely correct.
Together,
I mean, you are correct.
They put the team together, and the problem with most attorneys is their teams know more than they do. Not mine. I don't play that.
Very well said. Well said. Listen, Eddie, you have 5 minutes. You know, we're going to really close it out.
Yeah, I was already looking at the time right now. Just to wrap this whole thing up, I would always choose love first, for one, because I have trust issues. And that's whether I get the love before the money or not. I just have trust issues. So, of course, I'm going to ask those questions like, why do you love me? What are your reasons for saying that you love me? It's times where people have told me that they love me, and I asked them why, and they got stumped because they didn't expect that response. And they just expected I love you back to come. And when they heard the question, well, why? Why do you love me? It's like, huh? Wait a minute. That wasn't in the script. And I'm sure they hold mindset off. But love is not a game. And nor is my finances. So if you listen to the show, I hope you realize that, for one, there's no right answer to this. And with whatever answer you give, there are potential consequences or things that might shift your answer if it's added to the situation. But either way, we are getting to the root of why people choose the decisions that they make in regards to the topic, and I think with that we have become better mentally. We learned about prenups. We learned about people the way that they present themselves in a manner that will allow them to be chosen by based on who they are as opposed to what they have. I joked around calling it the whole Prince Hakeem effect. And that was all due to cultural differences. Sometimes we show too much. That's another thing that you need to keep in mind. You might be showing too much and attracting the wrong people by what you're showing. So you might want to be considerate of how you're presenting yourself to those if you are that person who is wealthy and looking for someone. And you definitely want to have someone that is willing to protect your assets and to make sure that you're asking the appropriate questions to make sure that someone is choosing you for you. And like I said, when you look for those answers, listen to the answers that they give you. If they're saying stuff like the stuff that you provide for them or your physical appearance or what have you, those people don't love you. They love you or they like what it is that you have to offer them as opposed to your characteristics, the things that will still be there if and when you lose out on that financial wealth or that gain that, or that come up that that you might have had. So keep that in mind as well. I hope that you all have gained something from it. Please keep on the lookout on Facebook, on the Man Up Talk Show Facebook to see what the next week topic is so that I'll get more people calling in so that we can discuss more about to the root of it topic of next week. I appreciate your minds and time. Does any of the panelists want to speak on each other's behalf or put out any other rebuttals in regards to their remarks or comments?
Sig?
No.
No.
No, that's simple. Brother Dow, closing remarks?
Look, it's been a blast like it always is. Eddie. Boy, it's been a good week. This last half hour has been real. Man, I can't wait to next week.
Okay. How about you, Nas?
Hey, man, it's been on fire. I mean, you know, once again, we thank everyone that checked in on the show. We love you guys, and the show. And, of course, to the root of it, it's going down.
I wish you all well. I hope to see you all or hear you all or have your ears, preferably, next week. And just keep in mind that before you get to conclude that your answer is right and that you've gotten to the root of it, consider what their options or what their thought processes might be so that you can use all that information and actually get to the root of your decision. Y'all take care, be safe, and God bless.
Bye, sweetie. Bye, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Everybody be blessed.
Communication starts with self-purpose. You have to first know yourself and figure out the process of learning how to understand you.
What are you?
I'm complicated.
You know, I just came to check up on you.
The radio show called To the Root of It.
This is my
I'm
my
ingesting.